Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
It's the Brad and Brit cast. We're glad you're with us here. We're live in the 1:30 hour on a Monday, or as we called it a long time ago, Bunday, which I never could understand. That was the old radio pronunciation.
If you're asking, yes, I've already done it. I've already placed my first bets as gambling is now legal in North Carolina. And it's already done.
Right. I'll ask you a question. Had you placed money in an account last week? Because I think you were allowed to actually get the money ready. So
No. That's stupid. You can put it in at any time. I mean, I'm not saying I have a gambling problem.
But you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You saw that.
I know, but you can, in 5 seconds, you can go there today and go to Venmo or PayPal or put a debit card in.
It doesn't matter. The signs. I don't think you're committed. I don't think you're committed to the bit.
I'm going to tell you people, because gambling on the little sports apps is now legal in North Carolina as of an hour and a half ago. This is how you can tell that your loved one is having a gambling problem. Are you ready? First of all, they're putting that shit on a credit card. If you put that shit on a credit card, you got a gambling problem.
I didn't know you could do it. I guess you can.
Yes, 100% you can. Number two, if your loved one says, I'm quitting my job, you don't understand, I have a system. And if they start betting on preseason anything, baseball, basketball, football, they've got a gambling problem right there. These are three signs right out of the bat that you know. And if they're up at 3 o'clock in the morning and they're in the living room betting on badminton in Australia, which is possible to do.
And by the way, if you do suspect a problem in your family or you have one yourself, call 1-888-BRIT-BETS. And he'll help you.
That was like, I know everybody was kind of waiting to see who would bet first on the legal bets in North Carolina. And they'll probably try to get an interview with that person on the news or whatever.
Is this like when the first person to get a COVID shot?
Yeah.
We're going to have a video of it.
I think the more important and the better interview would be the first guy to call the gambling helpline that he's got a gambling problem. Interview that guy's family. That'll be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what they're doing? They're doing a special. The Charlotte Hornets are playing a game against Detroit tonight. And by the way, if you need basketball real bad, we got a real bad basketball game for you. They're doing a thing like up to $50, I think, on FanDuel and DraftKings. If the Hornets score one or more points, they'll double your money. Today only, in North Carolina only.
I'm agnostic on betting. You know that. I don't bet. The only sports betting I do is when I'm out in Las Vegas about every 3 years, right? Yeah. I get all excited about it. I make a big deal out of it as if it's a big
blackjack.
I bet $20 on a football. That's all I do.
Yeah.
But the predatory, insidious tactics of the companies that are in this business is so far beyond anything else. This is equivalent to Prohibition get repealed, right? When Roosevelt became president, in 1933, this would be as if at that moment, the alcohol companies started giving away their product for free so that you would start drinking. And I'm just guessing, maybe there's something equivalent to that was done. That there's nothing close to what's going on now, right? There's nothing close.
It's crazy. It is fucking crazy. And by the way, as Paul Williams via the Carpenters once said, we've only just begun. It's going to get way, way worse than this.
Hey, and speaking of that, I took the bullet for the Brad and Brit cast this morning.
Oh, this is good, because we were getting texts about this. Please, fill everyone in.
I texted you
at
7:15 because I saw at the bottom of the screen, I was watching CNBC, the financial channel, and at the bottom of the screen was a bug that had that idiot picture of Trump, the one that's now 20 years old, where he's just cocked his head to the side.
Right.
You got that goofy smile. They just the same one over again. Doesn't matter how old Donald Trump gets, he never gets any older. right? In the way he's depicted as a candidate or anyway. Donald Trump coming up at 7:30 live. Okay. So I texted you and I tried to predict all the softball questions that would be asked and all the stupid things that he would say. And I was wrong by half. It was twice as bad as I thought. And since we're talking about gambling, listen to the master. Take a question about crypto. What do you think of crypto, Don? What do you think of crypto? And as always, he never really answers the question in any kind of coherent way. And he always pivots to something else that he wants to talk about to make himself look good. So, Don, what do you think about crypto?
Well, it's taken its own life. You know, I do little things sometimes for fun and, you know, make money with it. And but I have fun with it, too.
NFTs.
No. But it sometimes will let people pay through Bitcoin or will let people get involved in a new... You know, if you think of it, it's an additional form of currency. I used to say, you know, I want one currency. I want the dollar. I don't want people leaving the dollar. And well, I feel that way. But I will tell you, it has taken on a life. We did a thing that people smile at, but it was wild. We did 1,000 sneakers, so limited edition sneaker run. The last one, and you could go through... You know, our crazy new currencies, because that's what I call them. They're crazy, whether it's Bitcoin or others. And so many people were buying these things. And ultimately, the last pair of sneakers sold for approximately, I hear, $450,000. It was a limited edition.
Oh, hello. Yeah. 400. Right. So what do you think of crypto? And it ends up being... Somebody paid $450,000 for these sneakers, which, by the way, are an abject failure. Sneakerheads hate them.
Are they?
Yes, they are. They're not a real thing. Here's the from Salon. Real sneakerheads get why Donald Trump's gold shoes are a failure and ugly too.
They are. They're bullshit. Oh. I first of all, I'm offended that CNBC is going to run an interview like, oh, yeah, I'm really interested to find out what Trump's policies are going to be if he gets another term. I wonder how he feels about the rate cuts or as far as interest rates. Hey, do you think he's going to try to cut taxes on rich people? I'm really interested in this.
No, it's worse than that. They went 45 minutes straight with no commercials starting at 7:30, blew through the 8 o'clock break. Right. They all break it right before the hour. And they went all the way until 8:15.
But Brad, did we get a good take on what he's thinking about China's problems with their economy and what they should do right now? Was there any of that insight?
Not quite, but it was the usual blather about how he was so tough on China. And if they don't straighten out when he's president again, he's going to slap a 10% tariff on everything, and that'll teach them like it. Wait. And then when one of the questioners says, well, you know, that's going to raise prices again for Americans.
Thank you.
And they're going to slap tariffs on stuff that we try to import there. And before you know it, it's just more inflation. And of course, he has no answer for that. It just sounds good because he's the toughest person in the history of anything.
The way to punish China is to raise the prices of stuff for Americans. That's how you punish China.
Yeah.
Did any of those geniuses point out that we bought more stuff from Mexico than China last year? Did any of those guys at least bring that up?
Well, he only has about 8 to 10 different stories. And the one that you referred to even obliquely is how, American car companies and foreign car companies are setting up factories in Mexico. And if they think they're going to do that and import cars into the United States, Trump's going to tax them at a 50% rate, a tariff of 50% on cars that are assembled in Mexico. Now, I will tell you, we just bought a brand new Honda HRV. It was about 31, 32 grand, something like that. And I think I think it's assembled in Mexico with about 40%
right
parts made in the United States. And there, I don't know whether that would apply on the Trump. So that $30,000 car would suddenly be 45 under Trump. I'd certainly feel better about that. I don't know about you. But it's so crazy.
This is the tedium, though. When you have a channel like CNBC, which purports to be like the real for the real hardcore economics guys, the guys that really get down there, they know what EBITDA is, they know what when the reports are coming out, all this shit, and it's just like you 45 minutes of there's no real policy anything. And it's true of anything that you talk about with this asshole when you get him on TV. Like, I'd really like to see how he's gonna deal with our South American neighbors. And there's none of that. There's no nuance. There's no I think the Fed should probably cut rates in the second quarter, but kind of hold in the third quarter and see what happens. There's none of that shit.
They didn't bring up Federal Reserve policy, but when they do attempt to at least dance around. Even be direct about the legal problems that he has. And wouldn't some of those legal problems possibly get in the way of you enacting any kinds of, well, of course he only has one speed, which is to say the same things you've heard him say. It's a witch hunt. It's illegitimate. I've done nothing wrong. It's the same stuff. And they won't interrupt him. They won't get in his face and interrupt him. Let's say I made some quick notes here. how about the Donald Trump TikTok two-step?
Oh, the TikTok two-step? What's that about?
The TikTok two-step. At first, and this is while he was president, Trump came out and said that he is definitely fed up with TikTok, that they were just too much. They need to be banned and you can't trust them. Okay. So as you know, last week, legislation was passed almost unanimously.
Yeah.
Saying that TikTok has to, within 6 months, be divested from Chinese connections and ownership. It's got to be spun off and be its own thing so that the data that they collect under no circumstance, without any question, will not be accessible by the Chinese government because they're collecting data on every one of their users. Many of them, most of them, a lot of them are younger folks who have no clue. And the Congress, this is something they can finally agree on. They really do. They really could agree on it. And Biden says, send it to me, baby. I will sign it. Of course, because Trump, and this is just like with immigration, it's a real, real problem until there's a solution within sight. And then Trump has to go the other way.
Now
decided he's against clamping down on TikTok. And here are the reasons that he gave. Number one, because young people love it. And they'd go crazy, paraphrasing, they'd go crazy if we banned it. That's a good reason. And the other reason is because if we banned TikTok, it would help Facebook. And I hate Mark Zuckerbucks.
Oh, okay. There we go.
Zuckerbucks, which, by the way, is an anti-Semitic slur, Don. I know you don't know that.
Well, in addition to being incredibly clever.
Right. And being it is brilliant.
Okay. You can't say anything about that.
And as you know, Trump should have been the host of the Academy Awards, not Jimmy Kimmel. We know that. So he's decided now he's pro-freedom for TikTok because the rest of the world is against it. And I guess he thinks that that's going to be a winner among younger voters. Hey, Donald Trump wants to allow us to keep the bullshit on TikTok coming our way through our smartphones.
But the other part of that is that this guy Biden, who supposedly is kissing the ass of China, is immediately trying to ban. He said, if you put the thing on my desk, I'll sign it. So that goes against their narrative.
Are you talking hypocrisy and lack of consistency here? Like that's a barrier to Trump?
I'm just saying,
are you nuts?
All they do is say that Joe Biden is subservient to China. Meanwhile, we bought more stuff from Mexico than we did China last year. And he's trying to ban this TikTok thing, which, by the way, I have to say, I don't know if it's practical to have it banned, but the permissions that app asked for are bananas. And it really is bullshit. And it really is bad. I would never. I mean, I have a lot of shit on my phone that invades a lot of my privacy and people know a lot about me. I will never download that app. Not for one second would I ever think about doing that app.
Well, good. Good.
But I understand. And I think the lawmakers are right about doing what they do. Again, I don't know about the practicality of it. I wish that there was a way market-wise for the iTunes store and for the Galaxy Play store to somehow clamp down on the information. But I guess trying to deal with that would be a little silly anyway.
No, you can't leave it up to Apple to police TikTok.
Yeah,
that's not. But if they ban the app, the app's banned, and you know, I think they've already done it in the state of Montana, right? Is it Montana?
Is it one of those things though? If they ban it, it's going to make it more popular. That they're going to be able to do it through backdoor means and stuff like that, and it'll be a little.
You know what? Most people won't do that. They don't do that. If you can't do it in the simplest way possible, people don't do it. So yeah. They can ban shit. They can get rid of stuff.
I guess I'm in favor of it. I don't know the practicality of it, but yeah, it's what it does and what the stuff that it gives to China. Yeah, it's bullshit. It shouldn't be that way.
Well, especially since a lot of the American companies are not even allowed to operate in China. Oh, so we're going to act like them. The problem with a segment like that, 45 minutes, is the guys on the financial channel and the girl, they don't even bother to try to fact check him in real time when they know that he's lying. For instance, one of his big lies that is not as big as the biggest lie about the election, which of course he did lie about the election. He slipped that in there.
Oh,
of
thank course God.
He got, and they don't even challenge him. They didn't correct it.
They don't say,
oh, by the way, do you know you actually lost? No, they just.
I guess since they didn't lose $800 million in a lawsuit, they don't really feel the need to run in there and correct him.
But he does his little diatribe about how when he was president, we were essentially energy independent, and now it's a disaster. It's an absolute disaster, and we've got to get back in there. You got to get me back in there so that we can drill baby drill. And they don't even correct him and say, Mr. Trump, the United States is producing more energy today than in the history of the United States, and we now produce more oil than either Russia or Saudi Arabia. They can't even correct him on that when they know it. They just let him go.
Even Joe Manchin, who kicks Joe Biden's ass on the regular from a coal-producing state like West Virginia, said, we're more energy independent than we've ever been. Right now, as we speak, I can't. If you went to the average Trump guy at one of those MAGA rallies, like the one they had at Greensboro, 9 days ago, and he said, what are like the three cornerstones of Trump's economic policy? What do you think they would have to say? Let the marketplace rule, less regulation, cut taxes on rich people. That's like it. That's like his whole thing.
Basic. And they brought up the E word, entitlements.
Yeah.
Entitlements.
Yeah.
And Trump's answer, of course, is just mealy-mouth bullshit because, of course, he's ready to cut Medicare and Social Security. And how do you do that? Well, you raise the age for Social Security, right? That's what you do. You raise the age, you make it harder for people to start getting it. That's one way that you start to cut Social Security. of course, he will not say that. He just says it'll be easy to do. We can do it. Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
We're going to have the best people on this. You don't understand. They're going to work on this. It's going to be a great solution. It's going to be a huge win.
But on the other hand, he says, I'm not ever going to cut a single penny from Social Security.
Right.
So he talks out of both sides of his mouth about this. And then he says, well, we'll be able to do that because we're going to get these tax cuts. You know, he mixes it all up and it's just a stew of horseshit that doesn't make any sense. And of course it never involves raising the threshold at which people have to pay. What's it like, 140,000 right now? Everything over that doesn't get taxed at Social Security.
Scream that you're raising taxes. That's when the Republicans just scream bloody murder that if you lift that, then you're raising taxes. Meanwhile, again, these tariffs that he's leveling left and right, that's not raising taxes. You're not raising a tax on anybody.
Well, I wish you understood the real world.
One of these days I'll get there. I should have taken more business and economic classes for sure.
Yeah. All right. Here's one that I had. Swing and a miss. Strike three.
All right.
You may have heard it over the weekend. Trump at his rally attack E. Jean Carroll again. Now remember, last week he got tagged with $83.6 million that he had to come up with, and he did. And I guess with interest, it was like $91 million bond that he owes E. Jean Carroll for defaming her. That, by the way, that includes $65 million in punitive damages. So the punitive damages are really because he mouthed off after he got convicted the first time. So this was from the second trial. So I figure that when Trump was a kid and he put his hand on the hot stove, unlike most people, he probably did it again. And he probably did it again. And then they sent him to military school, and that didn't matter either. He learned nothing. In this case, you get hit with, what, about a $5 million fine. That's not enough. Now you're getting hit with an $85 million fine. Apparently, that's not enough. So he's still out there saying the same things. I never met this woman. I have no idea who she is. I've never done anything wrong. Blah, blah. And so he's setting himself up, because I'm just guessing that E. Jean Carroll and her lawyers, they're kind of paying attention to what Trump says. So this third time, if you go from 5 to 83, okay, that's like a factor of 16 times bigger. So I say make the next fine 16 times bigger than the 80 some million dollars. So you get to about $1.6 billion or $1.7 billion if you keep going up exponentially on Trump for this stuff. If she wasn't my type, I wouldn't have raped her. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my. It just never stops. On the Financial Channel, it would have been great to ask him about the financial mechanics of him coughing up this money at the very last second, which he clearly didn't have in his, like I have, a checkbook. He couldn't just write a check, right? He had to go to, he had to get it bonded out like a common criminal, right? Well, I'd like to hear them talk about that, because they probably know the intricacies of that little delight. It was just horrible. You gave him a 45-minute campaign commercial, CNBC. You should be ashamed. You really should be ashamed.
Well, I mean, if you want to dive into the psychology of it, I mean, it's essentially because the Wall Street guys love Donald Trump one way or the other, because they know that he won't have any regulations or anything, and they're kissing the ass of some of those Wall Street guys.
Well,
I think that's the whole metric behind the whole thing.
Well, that's true, but it's kind of not true. Trump loves the Home Depot guys, okay, Arthur yeah. Blank, and there's another one that he likes, and then there's Ken Langone, okay. Ken Langone was the guy who was the genius behind the financing of Home Depot at the beginning. So he got really rich off of that too. He's worth about $8 billion. And you see him around. He's another one of these guys. He's got, see, here's the problem. Trump shouldn't be criticizing any people like this because not only are they really rich, they've really done usually pretty good things with their money. And I do believe the medical school at NYU is the Langone School of Medicine, right? He put in $300 million of his own dollars. Where is the Trump School of anything? Okay, and I know Trump University was great. We know that. But
the fact check on that, the New York's NYU School of Medicine is known as the Grossman School of Medicine. Grossman School of Medicine.
What's the Langone?
Langone Health is NYU's NYU's Langone Health, which okay. is a little bit different.
Okay.
It is under the umbrella of the Grossman School of Medicine.
Okay. All right. Good enough as you try to make me look like a jerk.
No, you're in the ballpark.
It's all right. No, but you get the overall point. You get the sure. overall point. And so they play a clip of Langone, who was on the network about a month ago, saying the last thing we need is Trump becoming president again. He's essentially a hot mess. It's like a 6-second clip. They come back to Trump and they go, well, what do you think of that? And he goes, I don't think he was ever much of a fan of mine anyway. I don't think he ever liked me. And you know the deal with Trump. You like me, I like you. But here's the point. Langone is as much a Republican loyalist as there is. Yeah. He's right in there. Wow. He's right in there. But apparently he still has the mental capacity to realize that not this Republican, not Trump. And of course, that's a heresy to Trump. So of course he tries to trash Langone. So this is what the 45 minutes was like. It's just complete disassociative bullshit, personal attacks. Yes, he attacked the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, the same old Fazera, just a mess. All right, what else is on the list? Oh, you want to you know what a Fifth Avenue Republican is? I love this. This is so good. A Fifth Avenue Republican, this is according to Peter Wehner, who worked in, I think, Reagan's and both Bush's administrations. Peter Wehner is a writer now. Fifth Avenue Republicans support Donald Trump regardless of what he does, even if, as he said in 2016, he could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot someone. Fifth Avenue Republicans. It wasn't an exaggeration. It was prophecy. It's perfect. It's a perfect description of these people. People who have bought in all the way to where whatever he does, whatever he says, we will be there to make an excuse for him. From the mountains to the seas to the valleys, Donald Trump can do no wrong. And we're by his side. We've got his back. We are Fifth Avenue Republicans.
Good God.
Isn't that delightful?
Can you buy the merch? Is the merch available somewhere where I can buy a Fifth Avenue Republican shirt or a jacket?
Well, see, this is the problem. It is obviously designed to insult people, but as you so brilliantly walked into, they love to take things that are 100% accurate and turn them around. I could see them using the Saks Fifth Avenue font, because you know what the Saks Fifth Avenue font, that scripted thing that you've seen yeah. forever,
yeah.
and make it Fifth Avenue Republicans with a little picture of Trump or something. I could see that. They always wear that proudly, being the thinking, wonderful fellow Americans that they are. Ah, God almighty. Britt, who's the greatest golfer of all time? Is it Tiger? Is it Jack? Or is it Donald?
Without question, it's Donald John Trump Sr. What's the latest on this?
Correct, you are. When Trump did his rally in Georgia on Saturday, and Trump was in Rome, Georgia, Biden was in Atlanta. While Trump was in Rome, Georgia, he introduced to the world a guy whose name I'd never heard of, but this guy's been an advisor to Trump. He's been behind him the whole way. Some guy named Brian Jack. Brian Jack. And he said he's been with me since 2016. So Brian Jack says that Donald Trump just a few weeks ago put to shame two professional golfers. I'm not going to mention their names. Does that sound Trumpian to you?
It does, very much so.
But just know that he shot a 70 on 18 holes. Mr. Jack, who is, I believe, 36 years old, young guy, gave no other information about the alleged accomplishment, causing some to wonder if he was being entirely truthful. What do you think? Remember when, what did Kim Jong-un supposedly shoot for 18 holes, like a 37 or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Like the greatest round in the history of rounds. Columnist Joe DiPaolo dismissed the claim altogether. The idea of Trump at age 77 outplaying two current pros without receiving any type of advantage, forget about it, of course. But this is just part of the shtick. It's part of the aura. Just keep saying it. Keep pushing out this narrative of omnipotence, of greatness. And do not believe your eyes. Do not believe your ears. Do not believe your own brain. Do not believe them. Believe us. Believe what we say about him. Believe the Fifth Avenue Republicans, of which clearly this guy, imagine being, he's 35, I think, or 36 years old. That means he started working officially with Trump when he was, 28, 29. Imagine being that age and being down the rat hole that far. That, yeah. Wow. That's pathetic.
I wonder if anybody's going to speak up and actually claim that they were on this little round with him, if it's Ricky Fowler or Bubba Watson or anybody like that. Because nobody's going to cop to the fact that, there's two problems here. First of all, you got to cop to the guy that this guy kicked your ass in golf, which nobody believes.
Which didn't happen.
Never happens. Like you have to go, I was golfing with him, but his performance may have been exaggerated just a little bit.
All right. Well, we know that of all the professional athletes, golfers tend to be the most right-wing, tend to be the most Republican. Not all of them, but many of them, because of tax favorability, right? Probably every pro golfer got a big tax cut when Trump was president, right?
This is a statement that is generally true. If you're a rich white guy in America, you love Trump. Now, there's a few exceptions to that, but generally that speaks that's a big circle right there. If you're a white guy making a lot of money in America, you're a Trump guy.
Yeah, this guy, Jack, he's running for the Georgia House, not for the U.S. House.
So all right.
I want to be correct about that. Unless I'm wrong and he actually is running for the House, because I could be wrong. It wouldn't be the first time. Well, actually, it would be the first time. Maybe not. What should the New York trial really be called? And this kind of bugs me, you know, because they call it, the Stormy Daniels trial or the paying off the porn star trial. And it's such a nothing thing. And why why are they making a big deal of it? And it doesn't count. And people won't care anyway. And of the four trials that Trump faces, that one, the Washington trial, the Georgia trial, and the South Florida trial, this is the most irrelevant one. So, of course, it's going to go first and no one's going to care and it's not going to move. I think that this should be called the original election interference trial because, and again, Trump today being Monday as we speak, through his lawyers, again, thinks that the trial should be postponed, not start so quickly here, because it's important that the Supreme Court decide whether he's immune from criminal prosecution for actions that he took as president. Right. And since he actually wrote the check, you've seen the check, that one with his dopey signature on it. Since he actually wrote that check while he was president to cover what was agreed to before the election about paying off Stormy Daniels through Michael Cohen, he's saying that that was a presidential act to write a check or transfer the money through a check as it's laundered through Michael Cohen to Stormy Daniels. He's saying that that was a presidential act. And therefore, until we find out whether he has full immunity for doing everything, then there should be no trial, which is really close to starting here, right?
Right.
I submit that this was about election interference because the election interference was trying to squash through the National Enquirer and through writing her a check and paying her off, squash the story about the affair.
Yeah. It's the old that catch, he had. It's catch and kill. That's the old catch and kill thing.
Long before he was president, you know, the affair that he had, I guess, as Melania had just had the baby, right?
This is with the McDougal woman or is this with Stormy Daniels?
Stormy Daniels.
Okay. Yeah.
They all happened long before he was president. Okay. but again, I mean, look at this. This trial's about to start, and that's all he does is try to delay and delay and throw sand into the gears of the justice system, for which he's a master at doing it. You know, you have to give him some begrudging credit, Britt. He's relentless.
For being God, a dick and trying to avoid his punishment? There's nobody better at trying to avoid his comeuppance than Donald John Trump. Oh, my God. I admitted it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we add our congratulations to Scarlett Johansson for killing it on Saturday Night Live?
I'll tell you, if you didn't know, and you tuned in at 11:34 Eastern time or whatever, and you saw her, you'd think you were looking at the tape.
I swear to God, anybody that ever says she's not a good actress.
Who said that?
I don't know if anybody's ever said that. Like, oh, you know, she's so attractive, you know? So people think, well, maybe she doesn't have to be that good an actress because she just gets away on her looks. Oh no. Oh no. She's got skills in addition to being absolutely stunningly beautiful. That was tremendous in no time at all.
Well, you're saying she could be a senator from Alabama is what
I mean, with very little chance and very little time to prepare, they just throw her on there in a cold open and she just destroys. I mean, it's unbelievable how well she did. I don't think she gets her due as like one of the top actresses as far as critical acclaim or whatever. Obviously she makes plenty of money. I think she's been part of a little Disney franchise called the Avengers, which I think generated a couple bucks at the post office. But you can see that this woman, bam, she's tremendous. She has skills as an actress that are great right there.
Yeah. So, all right. So we've gone almost all the way through. We haven't said anything about the Academy Awards.
Well, good for us.
good for us.
We went on that one.
Yeah.
I saw 1 second. I saw 0 seconds of it.
Really?
I didn't see any of it. And I've seen maybe 60 seconds worth of clips I saw John Cena naked. I saw Jimmy Kimmel reading the Donald Trump thing. I saw a couple other things. That's what I've seen.
Oh, that's the whole show.
I didn't watch it. I understand Al Pacino ruined humanity. I don't know what.
Well, it's not that he ruined humanity. It's and we need a final decision on just why you put a guy, and how old's Pacino? Like 80, 82, 83. Something. And I know you're thinking, well, he's not too old to still be a new father. So he's not too old to
83 to years of age. He's going to be, he's 83 years of age, and he will be 84 in April. So next month he will be 84 years old.
And so I didn't start watching it until about an hour and a half in so that I could knock out all the commercials
right
off the DVR. So it was very helpful, but I got near the end and I hit the live button. So, but when I hit the live button, it was about 10:20 and all I saw was the people for Oppenheimer accepting the award. So I didn't know about Al Pacino being a complete fuck up or whoever was running the teleprompter or whoever wrote for the, you know, maybe he was just reading something and didn't have the presence of mind to disregard a wrong teleprompter, but he got out there and did not name the nominees. He just got out there and said, oh, hello, here it is. It's Oppenheimer, I guess. That's all he did. He comes out. Okay. That's what he did. Now, whose fault is that? And how much should you assume that a person of such great skills, such great oratorical skills as Al Pacino, albeit they may be slightly diminished at age 82, would realize that after probably seeing, you know, more Academy Award shows and participating in them than anybody, he would know that format of you read the nominees and then you open the envelope.
It's funny that he just went to it. Can we just cut to the headline? It was the lowest watched in history, and then we have all the conservatives talk about it's because Hollywood pisses off real Americans. Can we just get to that headline immediately? Because
I'm sure that's not true. I'll bet. You know what? First of all, there was not that much politics in the show at all. Very, very little. Now, if you're thinking that Jimmy Kimmel's just perfectly delivered zinger against Trump was the kind of thing, well, that would drive the ratings down. So nobody would, that doesn't make any sense because he delivered that line. He paused. He got it. I mean, it was just great. And I don't know whether that was an ad lib by him or whether, you know, they thought of it, you know, 5 minutes before, but
I understand they've got that. What they've done in the past is they've had like some of the guys backstage. So if something happens, they can kind of huddle with them and go, are we going to go with this line? And we go with it. I'm pretty sure it was close to an ad lib.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's good enough. It doesn't really matter.
I assume we would go with that. There was there were some people that won for a documentary or something, and they were pro Palestine, stop the bombing, that kind of thing. That happened at one point, but there were no major stars, no people that were household names or anything who got up there and started ranting against Israel or whatever. That didn't happen.
No. Well, because that all happened before the show. That's why it started late. It's true. They were blocking traffic and people couldn't get in and the rest. You know, when Trump is president, these people are going to be shot. They're going to be shot for doing that.
Just wake me up when they stream the Oscar awards on Netflix. That's when I want it. That's when it'll become like a real ceremony for me.
Well, I think, you know, that's actually the big story that last night, all the big awards were not won by Netflix or Amazon or the streamers.
It was a studio film.
It went back to when America was great, when we had four companies that controlled everything and they weren't Amazon and Apple. And
those geniuses over at Universal, those guys at Universal, those scrappy folks, they scored a big one with Oppenheimer. But if they wouldn't have, it's those geniuses over at Warner Brothers Discovery with Barbie. They would have killed it, but they didn't.
I'll tell you how they could cut. Let's see.
Remember,
25 minutes off of the show, because I actually timed this.
You did?
For each major award, they had five previous winners walk out, five people.
Yeah.
And each of them would give a little biography of one of the nominees. So five nominees for best actor or actress, and then five people talking about them. And that lasted 5 minutes. 5 minutes instead of reading their names or just having the little clips like you've always seen. No, they killed 5 minutes each time doing that. So if you thought when Jimmy Kimmel said, now to do the best supporting actress, here are, you know, Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they come out and read five names, or the no. It took 5 more minutes to get to the award. So they did that over and over and over again. I thought that was a waste.
So you mentioned Mr. Pacino, you know, the he won an Academy Award for his acting. And what role and what movie was he playing when he won that award for his acting?
Dog Day Afternoon?
Was not Dog Day Afternoon. Was not Godfather. Was not Godfather 2. Son of a Woman. Son of a Woman is Al Pacino. When was the last time that Robert De Niro won an Academy Award?
Probably Raging Bull.
It was the day after the Reagan assassination attempt for Raging Bull. That is correct. So, I mean, I don't want to talk about the relevancy or any of that because it goes back and forth with the competition. And I think Oppenheimer was a great movie. And I think Barbie was a great movie. I hate that they have to be, squared off against each other. Like this is some sort of fucking America's Got Talent. But that's, that's what we do. I like the awards. They're fine. I didn't feel the need to bullshit. Watch them last night, but that's
okay. Bullshit. Here, the best proof that they're bullshit is that Billie Eilish now has 2 Academy Awards.
At the age of 22.
Martin Scorsese has none.
At the age of 22, she has 2 Academy Awards.
2-2-2, and Martin Scorsese has none. You know, maybe his next film... Yeah, maybe he's got enough experience now to really hit a home run.